Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Father, speak to us this morning. Let your presence be awesome. Let only Jesus be seen. Let your word be magnified with great evidence, bringing restorations, bringing transformation, bringing new seasons. Let there be massive progress today in every life and in every destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue in our series, The Unseen Realm, The Believer and Spiritual Warfare, and this is part 7. And I established last week that there are elements in the heavens and in the earth that the Lord has put there to keep record. And I showed you in scripture where it was written that I call the heavens and the earth to record this day against you. So God put these elements in the earth. They are there. They keep record. Among others, we have those we know as the watchers. These are some kind of angelic beings that keep watch and give God regular report on the matters that pertain to the earth. So you see, the matter and the decision of you to walk in holiness, it's not as if God will stand in front of your door and be trying to check if you are going to fornicate. There are elements all around you that take record. Are you still here? So you cannot live a holy life by trying to avoid sin. You live a holy life by loving God. The pathway of holiness is discovered in the love of God. And that's why love is the way to victory. Hallelujah. I say love is the way to victory. Spirit move over me. Make that your prayer this morning. Spirit move over me. As you brooded upon the waters, Spirit move over me. Creation is only possible when He broods upon us. Spirit move over me. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. And when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. The Lord decided that it was a season of restoration and healing for Israel. But there was a particular element, there was a particular faction among them. Even though we all stood and said we were standing as one. But somebody among us went and sinned. Somebody went from among us and did something that was an abomination. And even though the Lord was willing, and the Lord had decided that it was time to remember this family, but somebody was, they said, they brought out a record against Ephraim. It's not just you that needs to be following God. Everyone that is attached to your destiny, you have to be sure they are doing the right thing. Are you with me now? You have to ask them, ask your husband, hope you are still in the will of God. Hope you are not sinning. So that the prayers will not be counterproductive. When you want to get married to a man or to a woman, look at his circle. Who are the people he calls by default? The man may tell you, I don't have any friends. Oh, everybody is my friend. Jesus is my best friend. It's a lie. Check his regular call logs. Those guys that have 7 calls in a week, yes, go and watch those guys. Start praying for those people, because it might be punishment by association. Are you with me now? It may be what? Punishment by association. You didn't sin. But Ephraim was like a small tribe. Who was Ephraim? Who was the father of Ephraim? Joseph. Who did Israel lay his hands on when he died? Ephraim and the brother. Are you with me? You see, it's not how you start. Tell your neighbor, don't give the devil a chance. Don't give the devil. You've got to watch and pray. Don't just pray. Open your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes and observe what is going on around you. If they had been observant, they would have seen that there was a faction. One of our brothers has a case that is pending. A case that has not been addressed. Somebody went somewhere and did a blood covenant and swore, used ordinary blade, cut himself and said, if I don't marry you, Christina, let my destiny be eroded. And they did it under the tree. And they thought that because it was in 1849. When the Lord appeared to, Jacob, at Luz, which was later renamed Bethel. He was not the first person that God revealed himself to in that lineage at Luz. Who was the first person? Abraham. Almost 200 years later, the patterns we are still speaking. Is somebody here? You are the one who said it was my grandfather. In the realm of the spirit, altars don't have age. They are ageless. Come on, somebody here now. I say altars are ageless. That's why your grandfather can do something and you will benefit from it. That's why God can say, look, because of what you have done, David, I will make sure your children, you always have an heir. What did the children do? Nothing. Even despite the fact that the Lord was angry at Solomon, God could not judge him because of the promise he made with his father. Listen to me. If it happened in the Old Testament, it can happen now. Serve God in a way that God will have a personal covenant with you. Come on, are you here? Are you here? You need to talk to me. Are you here? I need to be sure you are not angry. Are you here? Ephraim is just a small tribe. Ephraim was supposed to be the grandchild of Israel, but Israel elevated him as equals with Reuben, as equals with even their own father, Joseph. So, oh my God, can you imagine such power that makes your son become your brother? And that Ephraim will never look at his father again and say, Baba, Papa. He will say, bro. That is the power of covenant. The ability, the way God altered his own spiritual DNA and changed his name. Jacob was also able to alter the DNA of his grandsons and made them sons. It's no joke. It's the same way that guy could have been carrying a curse and the father will look at him and say, from today, on the strength of the encounter I had with God when he changed my name, from today, that thing is removed from your... Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It is. You are only as strong as the covenanted people around you. Because certain things your prayer may not undo. But the covenant over the lives of certain people, they can rest on it and throw away that thing. Come on, are you here now? These are spiritual things and don't be careless. I prayed for a particular person. She was trusting God at that time for a child. And after praying and praying and praying, and there was no... I went back to God in the secret place. I said, Father, this report is not good. I said, on the strength of this oil, it's not my prayer again. This oil on my head, give her a child. She became pregnant. It was not doctor's report. It's not every day we do it. That faith must be imparted. Are you with me now? Aha. But if it was not a sense of, because initially we are trusting God for a child. But now I realize that the resistance was much. The resistance was much.
And this is the problem. You are praying about something, and you notice that the more you pray, the thing is getting out of hand. Then you panic and you run back. I don't know if you've had that experience before. You prayed and it seemed as if this thing ain't working. Then you panic and then you run back. The moment you run back, the thing just collapses completely. Tell your neighbor, stay your ground. If you must fail, fail on your knees. That other place you are going is Shechem. That other person you are about to call, those are the Philistines. There's no help there. There was a king in the scripture that died because he was sick. And he sent emissaries to another unbelieving nation. And the prophet met those people on the road and asked them, where are you going? They said, we are going there. They were trying. He said, Oga, go back and tell the king. He will not survive. Not because he had a particular aim, but because he trusted in other gods. This is how important and serious this thing is. That when many of you say, I don't know why I'm praying, and God is not hearing, go and benchmark the character of God in the Old Testament. Because God did not change. Is somebody hearing me this morning? He said, when I would have healed Israel, when I would have healed the whole nation, when I would have delivered the whole family, then a matter, Satan dug up a matter. It was Satan who brought the fire. Ah, are you here? Left to those of us who are interested in the matter, I will say, leave that one. Let's give her the promotion. Huh? Then somebody will bring out the fire. Ah, was she not the one who shouted at our boss in May? Come on, are you here now? I had a situation like that in the office when I was in the bank. One of my colleagues. Fantastic appraiser. But the way we do it in my office is that after you've lied and deceived yourself and told and given yourself high scores, are you with me? They will tell your boss to come and defend his cause on Sunday morning when you are in church and you are singing and praising God. Even if you're a pastor that day, you cannot go to church. It's a full day. They'll give you food, give you water. Do you want more water? Do you want coffee? You want cappuccino? It's here. But you will defend. If you cannot defend your staff, that means even you are not in that place. Oh, Rolake is fantastic. Oh, she's doing well. Oh, she brought in, she mobilized 35 million through a particular referral, you know, blah, blah, blah. People, okay. Somebody just stood up. Somebody that is not even a member of that zone. I worked in VI zone. This person was somewhere on the mainland. Huh? Just because once they had an email exchange that was unpleasant. Huh? Hello? Because some of you here, you insist you must have your way. Hear me. Huh? She insisted. And because she is not, the person she was having an issue with was not a direct manager. So she did it in like February. Appraisal is on, say, November, December. So everybody has forgotten. The girl herself, she's a fighter. She has even forgotten how many people she has fought with. The requirement for that year was that for you to be promoted, you must have high appraisal scores and you must mobilize funds. Then somebody stood up, random person. I know this person. I had an email exchange with her. She was rude to me. The moment she said that, nobody said, go and call her. Let's find out the other side of the story. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm telling you how the spirit realm works. So the normal thing to do is to have said, call her. Maybe this woman is lying. Nobody asked because she's a senior officer. Her integrity is at stake. If the lady had probed that issue later after that day, all they will ask for is evidence. And that woman will simply send the email. Because some of you like typing. I don't like talking. I like to type. I feel better when I type. Continue. Just keep typing. Keep writing. Letter writing. Keep writing. People don't know. Your words are in the spirit realm are like letters. The Bible says, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. So in the realm of the spirit, we don't write, we speak. It's equivalent. Nobody called the lady to say, oh, what happened? They just say, put her name aside. That's all. And after that meeting, the information went round. In my own case, because my case came up. See, my boy is not a perfect person. He's a Bini boy. And one day he called me and he said, you see all these people in this office, don't follow them. I may be bad, but follow me. Golden lesson. Golden lesson. Obadiah was a man of God, but he was a chief servant to Ahab. Are you here? So let your case be different too. There were things, we had issues, but I always waited till after everybody had gone. I'll now say, Oga, come. This thing cannot work like this. I'm the only one with you here. You cannot be doing this. But whenever we have our issues, we are always alone. Oga, good morning. We continue. Nobody will see us. But the other ladies, they are the ones who believe they have a right. Because we are now in the business of empowering women. So, and my company was pushing that narrative. So women started talking. And my colleague is a friend of our regional manager, who my own boss reports to. So if you misbehave, you get a call from the regional office. But when it was time to defend appraiser, regional managers don't talk. They will sit down in the council of the gods as spectators. It is that boss that you said is nobody. After all, how old is she? It's just because she is lucky and she got this job before. That's the person that will defend you. When it was time to defend me, issues apart, my boss said, Benga can stand in my office without any stress. He has relieved the branch manager. He has stood in for me. He can operate in any of the departments. Benga is on point. Then they sat down. So when you talk like that, you now sit down and allow people to raise query against you. That's the way we do appraiser in my company. It's not all this one that because I like her, I'll be greeting her because I know appraiser day. Anything you like, do. When you come to the council of the gods, we will not check it. I'm telling you about Ephraim. Are you with me now? All the head of operations in my area, they are also my friends. My boss's friends are my friends. So I said, Baba, how far now? How far? More go close. I said, Baba, you know the just they go church. How you go take remove stress with your life? Those are the kind of conversations. But I was not there. Then one of them stood up. I can testify to what he has said. Benga is always willing to do anything, including sweeping, if it will move the business forward. That's all. And they brought in my colleague. My boss, because he was upset at her, he didn't speak against her, but he didn't speak for her. That already speaks volumes. She was fired. And he called me the next morning when I got in. He said, before everybody comes, this is what happened yesterday. Keep your mouth shut and be watching. Come on, are you here? I'm telling you that if you are praying for redemption, whether it's about your family, whether it's about your own life asset or your business, or your family members are there. Because 200 years, about 200 years before the Lord met with Jacob at Luz, and he saw a ladder going up and coming down with angels, Abraham was first there and he had an encounter and raised an altar to the Lord. So there's no distance. What your father did, you are involved by bloodline. You are involved. So when you pray, and there are different types of sins, but there's a particular sin. There's what I call personal sins. There's what you call the sins of our fathers, sin by inheritance, sins of the bloodline. Yes, that's the word. Sins, please write it down. Sins of the bloodline. You didn't commit the sin, but you inherited it by virtue of the family you came from. Not that you are a bad person. So you will notice that when Daniel was praying about the redemption and the deliverance of Israel, Daniel said, I was praying, if you can get me that scripture. He said, I prayed and I was confessing the sins of my fathers. Chapter 9. Quickly, I want us to look at that. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, this is verse 16, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and the what? Iniquities of our fathers. Because many of the children that were born in captivity, they were not the ones that sinned. But they were born. The only thing they know about Israel is captivity, because that's their reality. They didn't know that they were a prince with God. They didn't know they were a nation separated unto God. They didn't know. Bible says, those who believe shall not make haste. Every time you always feel that pressure to move now, now, now. Check it. God may not be there. Let God bring the market to you. Don't run to it. Are you here now? Come on, did you hear that? I said, let God do what? Bring the market to you. If you go to it, you will miss it. You don't know the way into the market. You only know you open your shop, but you don't know where the customer will come from. So let God bring the market. Let God tell you how you will start the day. These are spiritual things. Go back to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea 7:1. What I'm trying to bring out here is that when dealing with sins of your father's house, foundational issues, you need to be spiritual to deal with satanic accusations. Some of your parents that you don't like talking to, you may need to sit with them and let them tell you the history of your family. Let them tell you what your great-grandfather was like. If they know what your great-grandfather, let them just tell you. Tell them you want to know about the family tree. Who died young? Who was afflicted by Ogugu? Who was a constant visitor to the shrine? Who was chosen by the gods to be a vessel and ran away and married in Lagos? Let us know. Peradventure, you are the product of a marriage that should never have happened because your mother was married to Ogugu. But they didn't tell you that because everybody is going to school now. So you now wonder why there's so much warfare on your life. Come on, are you with me? The devil will not say, she's born again. That born again is in your pocket. If you are not someone that walks in revelation and understands your authority in Christ, even with that, I'm born again, you will die and go to heaven. But Satan will make a mess of that person's life. So you have to be spiritual. And you have to be spiritually intelligent. Two things. You have to be what? And then you have to be what? That means you must have knowledge that pertains to the spiritual realm. You must have information that two eyes cannot see. You must have information that two ears cannot hear. You must have information that only a discerning heart can pick up. The good news is that while they didn't, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the wherewithal to deal with things like this in a direct way. God has given us an instrument. The scripture says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Is it through the blood of the everlasting covenant, you have delivered us out of the pit? Hallelujah. I said, through the blood of Jesus, we have been delivered out of the pit. Hallelujah. That means you can come out, and that means your family can come out. They don't all need to be born again. But because God has found one man alone, the Lord said, if I find five, I will not destroy Sodom. That means what God needs to save any land is at least five men. Any land. Five. Come on, say five. Five is the number of grace. Five is the symbol of the apostles, the apostolic ministry. That is the kind of anointing that uproots foundations. We send apostles to grounds where evangelists have failed. Because the authority that they carry can unhurt what has been covered. That's the grace of the apostle. They start a new regime. They break the old order. They bring in God in a very mighty way. They have no regard for what has been going on. They come with unrestrained strength from God. Even if you are not an apostle, you can be apostolic. Hallelujah. I say you can be apostolic. I say you can be apostolic. You can become the messenger of God for the redemption of your family. Can I ask you a question? Was it God that brought out the sin of Ephraim? That was a conversation in the court of heaven. Are you here? I said that was a conversation in the court of heaven. I'm trying to explain to you why you went all the distance. They told you to submit your bid, submit your proposal. Okay, we have gotten to the final stage of the conversation. And then they tell you, MD said, everything should be on hold. Have you not seen people that have masters and PhD? Any 40,000 here? PhD. Come on, are you here? Come on, say, not my life. There are things you see, and we know it is not because of the economy. There's an error here. It's an error in destiny. How can you have a master's in forensic science or a PhD, and you're a security man or you're a driver, and you say it's because you love driving? It's an error. The level of development that has gone into that life, nature should not permit him to be at that level. Come on, are you with me? I say even nature. There's an error. There are things you see we try to rationalize. But this is something is telling, there's a problem here and you are not getting it. The sin of Ephraim was brought out. So the approach of Daniel is what we need to bring in here. We are going to repent not just for our sins, but and not just for the sins of our people, but also the sins of our fathers. You didn't commit those ones, but by blood extension, you have been brought into that case. I don't know the way the lawyer say it. When they file a case in court, I don't know if they do have any lawyer or not. They say when they file a case in court, then they will join some people to that case. Huh? The person they are looking for is Brother Ayo. But that day, because when that happened, Agnes was sitting beside Brother Ayo. So they will join Agnes so that she will come and say what she knows. Meanwhile, Agnes is now and say, Pastor, I don't know anything about it. They have. Then if you refuse, you'll be subpoenaed. Did I get the word? Subpoenaed. You'll be subpoenaed. Do you know what subpoena means? It means you'll be compelled. That's what they did to Donald Trump. By virtue of being a former president, nobody can ask you to just come to the court. So to bring, because of your weight in the spirit as a giant, the demon that brought the case may be a small demon. But they will now subpoena you at a high court where they can compel you to come. Then you wake up in the morning, you are having pain all over your body. And you think it's because of the way you laid on the bed. Not knowing that all of them sat on your neck in a court case all over the night. Tell your neighbor, don't be tired though. Tell your neighbor, don't be lazy. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That's your advantage. Be strong in the Lord. Listen, all these people you are seeing going about with G-Wagon and all these things, they are kids, they are babies. When the matters of destiny are being decided, they don't look for those people. They look for ancient men. They look for ancient men. That even when you are dead, your blood can be speaking, requesting for judgment. This person did something against me. Somebody was raped. Somebody was murdered brutally. And the person died in the heat of that sorrow and was in the heat of that experience. Voices started coming. Like when I had gone to preach in a particular city, over 1,000 people in that meeting, and I gave that call for those who had done abortions to come out for restoration, and a brother came out. And his own case even became more serious than the lady's. And please, let me say to you, my dear sisters, everybody is at risk, but you are also at very serious risk. Because by the nature of your spiritual configuration, you receive seed and you incubate and you bring forth. So what you receive from a man, whatever experience you intermingle with, whether it's occultism, checking zodiac signs, check what all those things we do online and think it will end there. It is only the seed you have received. By your nature, you don't take anything without replicating it. So it is not checking zodiac and say, okay, I'm Taurus. I think those are people with horn. April. I've been doing a lot of April. They say, that's why it's very stubborn. I'm warning you. These things are spiritual things. You have a complete Bible. You are struggling to believe it. But you saw something. In those days, in the newspaper, they used to have a section for zodiac signs. And I used to go there and I used to read it. I didn't realize how dangerous it was. But now they've moved online. Say, happy Taurus Day. Happy Sagittarius. Happy whatever. Listen. By your nature as a woman, you don't just receive anything except it comes as a seed. Which means that thing will replicate. That thing will grow. You may not know where the fruit will begin to drop from. So it is better for you to be cautious than zealous. Come on, tell your neighbor, be cautious. It's better to be cautious than to be zealous. There are different types of sins, like I mentioned earlier. Number one, we have presumption sin. Presumption sins. These are sins with an uplifted hand. Defiant act of sin. We have secret sin. Sins that are done in the dark corners, just you and God and Satan knows. Number three, we have sins against the Holy Ghost. Every act that deliberately disregards the move of God, the hand of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, that disregards the person of the Holy Ghost. Bible says this one has no forgiveness. What that means is that the blood just cannot wash this one. Just pack your bag and go to hell. For you to be guilty of this sin, you must do it with knowledge. It is not a sin committed by error. You cannot commit it, the sin of the Holy Ghost, in error. Come on, are you with me? Are you with me now? Are you hearing me this morning? You cannot commit this kind of sin in error. You do it with your full senses. You know what you are doing. And then you begin to blab. It's not speaking under the influence of alcohol. Then, like I mentioned earlier, we have sins of the bloodline. So I gave a very powerful key this morning. Some of these issues that you have seen in your family that relate to patterns. You have a family of 5 girls, all light skinned, all very beautiful, all high achieving, doing very well. But it's either they are not married, or even when they are married, they don't have children. You must bring your family, yourself, to the place of repentance. You must bring your family. Don't just ask God to deliver. The first key to deliverance is repentance. Hallelujah. The first key to what? Is what? Is repentance. Look at the prayer of Daniel. He said he prayed and repented for his own sins, for the sin of his people, and for the sin of his fathers. And no matter how you look at me now, you might have done your first degree in at Cambridge. 300 years ago, all our parents were idol worshippers. All. Including the person speaking to you. And many of them did it innocently. That's the thing about it. They went in full swing, innocently. They didn't do it with intention to harm you. But agreement is agreement. Satan doesn't know who is father or son. He only looks at the bloodline. Hallelujah. Let's close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. Are you blessed this morning? So I'm telling you some of the hindrances many people experience. They will say, Pastor, we are praying. We don't know. My brother, it starts with repentance. And that repentance is on three levels. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? We do not war after the flesh. It is wrong for you to be making spiritual decisions based on earthly observations. Oh, she's a witch. Because her eye, one of her eye looks in a particular way. That's not the way to know a witch. When I was growing up, they say, if you're a woman and you have beards. In fact, my mother mentioned that one to me personally. That if you have small beards, that if it's just two, if it's one, it's not a powerful witch. If it's two, that if you see three, and if it's seven, Agbawo, if you see seven, So even when at the end of the day, I just think that just hormonal imbalance. It's nothing. But you know, somewhere at the back of my head, that thing was there for a very long time. So even when if I say that I like, I would just be checking. I would, you know, like we are talking, but I'm really checking. Is it like she caught it or the thing is there? Be checking. Okay, maybe she has. I'll wait for 3 days. I'll look again. It's a lie. That, if you are a witch, will you want people to know you're a witch? We operate at night. It's not. But those are the things her parents told us. But they were wrong. Like somebody said to me, that my mother said to me, that this thing is the way I keep the destiny I brought from heaven, that I will never have a happy marriage. Yes! I mean, I sat with the person, and the person said, after looking at everything that's happened to her life, that the mom said, there really is nothing you could have done. That's the destiny. I said, no. She said, no. Benga, when you really look at it, I said, no. My sister, no. God loves you. This is not the, no. You made a wrong choice. QED. You made a wrong choice. You don't know who a man is because he doesn't keep beards. If you take the man to the gym and say, you will need to, let's punch this bag. Behave as if you are exercising. If you see the way he's punching it with anger, it's a suspect. Suspect him. Even though he says he's a member of the prayer warriors. But you see the way he's the only man there. But he's already mentally in a spiritual battle. Hit it out. He says he's exercising. My sister, that brother is a suspect. Run! Because physically, when you see him in church, he's very humble. But this guy, one blow is seven die. One blow from him, you can meet your maker. So don't go and say, Pastor, I like his very. He has six packs, but you better check where the six pack is coming from. Come on, are you here now? It's not about six pack, oh. It's better to have money pack than six pack. And if you are very smart, have the God pack with money pack combined. So I don't like him because he's short. When you have God pack and money pack, you are very tall. You're very tall. You want to go and kill yourself at the gym. We know you. We know all of you in that address. He said, we do not walk after the flesh. He said, give me next verse. He said, for the weapons, more than one. We have more than one. There are situations you engage. As you see the thing coming, don't begin to analyze. Come to it with tongues. Akali makata. You see, the key to using spiritual weapons is to be spiritual. You have to analyze those things spiritually. Don't speak in tongues. Everybody speaking in tongues. Don't speak in tongues in the flesh. You can speak in tongues in the flesh. When you see that opposition coming, you see the battle coming from your office, you saw the first mail, you saw the second mail, don't begin to panic. Go to the Kaba, Lakato, Uze. Begin to read the mail in tongues. Because our weapons are not carnal. They are more than one. Oh, you've got the praise of God upon your lips. You've got the praise of God. That's another weapon. To others, they dance because they like good music. For you, praise is your weapon. When you lift your tambourine and you begin to sing, you are glorious in holiness and fearful. They already know the sound of that tambourine in the spirit realm. That there is one general. There's a lady, anytime she beats that thing, it is a signal to war. It is a compilation to angels to begin to gather the weapons of our warfare. Even though they are foolish to the mind, but they are not ordinary. Don't dance to any song because it has a good beat. You are a worshiper. You are a worship warrior. Don't just move your body. Because every movement is a language. Every movement is a declaration. Don't respond in the flesh. He said the weapons of our warfare, they are not ordinary. They are not carnal, but they are mighty. They can pull out foundations. They are mighty. The reason why they are mighty is because they operate through God. Every time you do it in the spirit of faith, and you respond in the spirit of revelation, what you know about your God. The Bible said those simple things that everybody does suddenly becomes mighty. They become mighty. They begin to operate at an alarming rate. Oh my God. God said in the book of Psalms, he said, he that seated in the heavens will laugh. So laughter is one of your weapons. When you look at that problem, and in the spirit you conclude that there is no way for Satan, he's game over here. Then you begin to laugh. You begin to laugh in the spirit. You wake up around 12 in the night to have laughing sessions. You begin to laugh. They say their brother has gone mad again. But there is something you have seen, that the weapons of our warfare are not. You have seen it in the scripture that even though they gather in one way, they will be scattered in seven ways, that there will be no delay to your prophecy. So you choose 1 a.m. For 30 minutes and you begin to laugh, because he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh, for we are seated in the heavenly places with him. Therefore, we laugh, we laugh, we laugh, we laugh. 3 days later, they started, hey, we need to readjust that thing. You already know the outcome. Because 3 days ago, you woke up in the middle of the night and you laughed. Be strong in the Lord. Because certain weapons can only be carried with strength. The sword of Goliath, you can't carry it if you've not eaten well. The weight of that sword is stronger than David himself. It's taller than the height of David. But it was being carried by a giant. Oh, but before David picked up the sword, he first began to proclaim the greatness of our God. He said, for you did not come against me. You came against the Lord of hosts. And you shall fall today. He began to hype God. He began to hype God. He began to hype God. You don't need an hype man. You need to learn how to hype God. He began to hype God. And it was as though as he was speaking, Goliath was also releasing incantations. But David kept talking. He kept talking. He kept talking. He kept talking. He didn't know that as he was speaking, that strength was being given. Do you know that when you are speaking, the strength is being given, you are not weak anymore. He picked up the sword and brought down the head of Goliath. I prophesy over your family, the head of Goliath is coming down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord in 1 minute. Bless the Lord in 1 minute. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you for what you are hearing. Thank you for what you are hearing. In the name of Jesus. Thank him, thank him, thank him.